So all our precious children are dismissed right now. I'd just like to say I am just so, so blessed that five of my kids are in the house today. And so we just need the other half. But, just to see them here participating and worshiping and just, oh my gosh, I could just jump up and down. And you know what would be the topping on the cake is if they took the platform and danced, because that would just be like over the top. I'm not asking you to do it now. But I'm just thinking out loud that, like, wouldn't that be a really nice Christmas gift to us? They could bless us when they're all home at Christmas time. Maybe like Behold the Lamb or something. I don't know. But anyway, they had a dance ministry for so many years. And for those that you don't know, it's just like when they took the platform, it's the Holy Spirit just came in like a flood. And oh my gosh, I just want to, okay. So welcome everyone. Ms. Kelly, you want to come join me? So Kelly and I were just in New York City and we were on a mission trip. And so we just want to just to share a little bit about that, and then I just have a short word to tag on to that. But we were in New York City with the New York School of Urban Ministry. And I don't know, the pastor, Peter Daruba, he has spoken here a couple times. I don't know if y'all have heard him or not. He is from Manhattan, strict New Yorker accent and everything. And he's actually the president of this ministry now, and was founded in 1984 by Paul Jonathan and his wife. But what they do is they host and they train and they deploy over 5,000 youth and adults into urban ministry each year by partnering with the inner city pastors and churches in New York City. And their outreaches take place like by street ministry, soup kitchens, rescue missions, city shelters, rehab centers, and more. And I know there were several people that had asked me about, could we do more trips or what there is to offer. I'm going to hang this on the bulletin board out there. And this is the catalog for next year. We'll actually start in July through December 2018. And there's all kinds of different short-term mission opportunities there. They're very, they don't cost that much. And cost isn't an issue anyway, because you know what? God always provides. That should never be stopping anyone from going anywhere. But, there's one in particular that I have been wanting to do for years. And it is the Women's Makeover, and it's in May. And what they do is go into the women's shelter, and they give them pedicures and do their makeup and hair and give them new outfits and serve them a meal and just bless these women that are living in these women's shelters. And so that's, if anyone's interested in any of these things, we can, just if a couple people want to go, if a group wants to go, whatever. We had... this was the teams represented this weekend were from Miami, Florida, Lynchburg, Virginia, Manchester, Connecticut, Allison Park, Pennsylvania, Chambersburg, PA, Richmond, Virginia, Brockport, New York, Lancaster, PA, Coriopolis, PA, Bedford, PA, New Holland, PA, Vena, Alabama, and Wellsburg, New York. So those were all the different places that people had came together, and we just worked together as a team. And I tell you what, PA like rocked the house. We were the biggest state. Anyway, there was the lady from Alabama. She just came herself. She flew in from Alabama, and that was her first time there. She came alone, and there was a gentleman there also from New York that was there by himself. So, and I know also that they're doing construction on. They had bought. They're in a old hospital, and. It's in Long Island City. And they're in the midst of, they've been renovating it for years. And now they're onto the third floor. And I know even they're looking for people that could just come up and do some construction work for the weekend or whatever. So it's a really good ministry. Actually, Pastor Peter is in the area this weekend. His wife's in-laws attend, I get mixed up. Everett Assembly, yes. I didn't know Church of God or the Everett Assembly. So he's actually there today. But he is like, this is the first time that I actually got to be with him on the street. When I went before, he was either somewhere else or doing something. But when we went out on the first night, we went to the South Bronx. and we took the food truck. And you don't leave until, like, I don't know, 9:30 at night or something like that. You don't go out. So we leave, like, 9:30 at night, and he's driving the food truck. And I actually was able to see him, like, with the people. And he's such the real deal. He loves on them, and he makes them laugh and just encourages them, hugs them. And, you know, he has such a love and heart for the people of New York City. But we went to it was a shelter. It was called the Living Room. And it's a shelter that does not have beds. And we didn't go in the shelter, but a couple of our teammates went into the shelter. But it's just like they just have chairs up everywhere. And that chair is their space. Like plastic lawn chair. It's like they sleep in that space, that is their space. And what happens is there's fights breaking out all the time and just people carrying on crazy. And a woman that I prayed with, her and her son had just moved there, and she was praying to get out, and she's just praying with me that, you know, I can get somewhere else. And her son was in his 30s, and he's special needs, and he has a lot of anxiety and fear. So he's like, that atmosphere is just really terrible for him. And so a couple of our team members, Ed and another pastor, went up into the shelter with him to pray with him. And they said he was just like hovered in this corner, and just because, you know, afraid to come out or afraid to do everything. So that was, you know, it was just when you're on the street and you see that, your heart's just, you just get full of compassion. So you want to share?
So, like this. So, I guess, I don't know, the whole thing was just heartbreaking for me. But I did have one positive experience, which was there in the Bronx. What is it? So, I kept getting supplies from the back of the food truck. And I don't know why, I just kept going up to the same girl, because each supply I grabbed, she didn't have. And of course, I ran out of things to give her. And something just told me, well, I mean, obviously it was God that told me, but I didn't think that at the time. I just thought I should go ask her if she needs prayer for anything. So I did. And she told me what she needed specifically. And of course, I kept it brief, and I asked her her name, and she asked mine. And she didn't even hesitate. She said, you know, a few weeks ago, or a week or whatever, she got this backpack, and it had my name written all over the backpack and all inside of it. And then I didn't know what to say. I just said, wow, that's really weird. the last thing she asked was for a hug. So of course I did. And she just seemed so surprised that I hugged her. And she specifically said, thank you for the hug. And mind you, she didn't really say thank you for whatever it was that I brought her each time, but she specifically said, thank you for the hug. Like, that's what she was there for. I don't know how to explain it.
I told Kelly that, you know, when she was telling me about it when we got back to the room, and that, you know, that was such a seed that was sown. And she was like, I don't know if I prayed the right thing or if I should have done this, should have done that. And I said, Kelly, you did what you were supposed to do. And whatever you prayed was the right thing, because the fact that she had the backpack with your name on it, every time she looks at that backpack, she is going to remember that moment. She's going to remember, even if she can't remember what was prayed over her, she is going to remember that hug. And she's going to remember that someone out there loves her and God loves her. And, you know, that's just what it's about. It's just about getting out there. Just to give a couple statistics, well, New York City is considered the most international city in the world, and there's at least 200 languages spoken there. 14% of the U.S. homeless population resides in New York City, While the U.S. average is 13% living below poverty line, 27.1% of the Bronx's population and 21.9% of Brooklyn's live below the poverty line. And those were the two places that they sent us. We were in the Bronx, and then we went to Brooklyn to serve the turkey meal. And they had sent teams, all the teams were all over the city. And we went out both nights and just looking for homeless people and to see if they needed anything. We took hot pockets out to them that were hot, wrapped in foil, you know, do you want something hot to eat? And just, you know, can we pray for you? You know, we love you, the Lord loves you, and just to encourage them. They also said that as a result of the devastation caused by Hurricane Sandy, the need for helping the needy and hurting New Yorkers has skyrocketed since last October 2012. And I don't know if I wrote this down. There is, And this is according to the City of New York and the Coalition for the Homeless. 25,000 children are homeless in New York City every night. 25,000 children are homeless. Now that they might be in a shelter or they might be under a tree or a bridge or whatever, but 1.9 million, that's 42% of children living in New York live in low income status. And one out of 13 children in the public school system is now homeless. So it is a big, you know, it's a harvest field. And, you know, sometimes we think that, like Kelly and I were talking, it's sad because some people reject your help and you know, okay, that's fine, you know, but bless you, you know. And you see some people in need and they just don't want your help. But, you know, our part is just to go out and be obedient and just to make the effort. And then the Lord will take care of the rest. They prayed for a... Well, they prayed for a lady who had schizophrenia. Was that? Okay, she was on the street. She was really thought the mafia was after her and was coming and all this stuff. And I don't know, did she take any supplies or anything? Or she just went to prayer. So I was in the van when they were out doing that. But, you know, and we talked about that. Like, you know, they prayed for her, you know. Why didn't we see a manifestation of anything? Why didn't we see a change? You know, we can't answer that. And I've learned over the years to praying for people and praying for situations and not seeing something manifest that I cannot make a decision on why this didn't happen. All I can do is be obedient. And Jesus said, pray and go, you know, and the seeds. And, you know, the rest is up to God. And, of course, we want to always see a manifestation happen because God wants everyone healed, set free, and delivered. It's not his, you know, he doesn't want people sick and dying from sickness and accidents and all that stuff. But it's the result of us living in this fallen world. And he wants everyone to be healed and set free. And we don't always see that. But that doesn't should not affect on whether we go or not, or whether we pray or not, or whether we give an encouraging word or not. It has nothing to do with that. We just get back to the word and we do what the word says. And the word says that when Jesus went out, all was healed and set free. And that's what we do, you know, and we just keep pressing in. We keep pressing in for more of God. One other testimony that I wanted to share was from a young girl. The young girl from Connecticut. She was probably about, what, 11, 12, 13, the one that made the hat. 13, she was 13. She did not want to go to NYSEM, but this summer, I guess, maybe she was forced to attend summer outreach. And so when she was out there on the outreach, that she encountered this homeless man that needed a blanket. And this must have been the second night she was there. So when she gave him the blanket, she said that he just sat rocking back and forth, and he was crying because he got that blanket. And so that it was that same blanket, she said, and she broke down, and she just could hardly get through the testimony. It was so powerful. But that same rough blanket that she gave him, and it's real scratchy, it's on all the bunk beds in the dorm. And she said she was complaining about that the night before. And then she gave it to this man who was set and cried because he received that blanket. And it touched her heart so much that in 2.5 months, she was back up there the weekend we were, but in 2.5 months, with the help of others, she made 360 hats and scarves to pass out to the homeless. So, you know, when we have an encounter, when we, you know, are stepping out and doing things, it's like, you know, it's not just for that moment. It's for, it's, It's to do something in us. It's to spark something in us. It's to start something moving and going. And, you know, and she was so touched. And now she's like, you know, this 13-year-old, you know, she could be out doing whatever, is making these 360 hats and scarves, because she was touched by that experience. The Lord touched her in that moment. The other thing is, I don't know how many different places that they did the turkey meal, the dinner, but they, over the whole month of November, because they did it like 3 weeks, they roasted 400 turkeys to give. I mean, can you even imagine? No, I can't. I still can't get over that. 400 turkeys to pass out to the needy. And we were at a church in Brooklyn, is where we had ours. And there's part of our group went out and passed out flyers, and the church had some flyers up. And then they would come into the church had it set up in this room, and then they would come into the room, and we would serve them and talk with them and wait on them and just, you know, befriend them. And I sat down with a lady. Took a meal and sat down with the lady, and here I started talking with her, and she was from Johnstown. Not really. And she lives in New York City. She's been in there 2 years. And Kelly came over then, and we talked with her for quite a long time, and she had quite a story. But, you know, and I think that there was some other things going on there. But in all of her talking, and because she was saying things that didn't make sense, but in all of her sharing and stuff, she was saying about, you know, she suffers with MS. And so, you know, we just sat there and we left her share. She wanted to talk, and she talked and talked. And they're all cleaning up, and we're all still sitting there, and she's talking and talking. But, you know, she needed that. And then when we were done, we just like, you know what, can we pray for you? You know, and we prayed, you know, for the MS and for clarity of mind and, you know, all things. And she was just like, you know what, I wasn't going to come to this dinner. But my roommate said, oh, come on, let's go. And she was just so thankful that she was able to come and just have that meal. But more so, she said, it's just to be in the company of others and let someone just sit and listen to her. And, you know, that's what we need to do. There are 7,000 unreached people groups in the world, and 2.9 billion have never heard the gospel. And only 10% of the missionaries in the foreign fields are in the unreached people groups. So what does the word say? The word says that Jesus is not going to come back until everybody hears the gospel. So you know what? We can say, like, I hope he comes back and whatever, shouts and, you know. But he's not going to come back until everyone hears the gospel. So you know what? It's our responsibility. It's the church's responsibility. We're the holdup. We're holding him up. Anyway, so, all right. That is pretty much anything else about our trip. Nope. So if you're interested in any future upcoming trips there, or if you have find another place that you would like to go, we can get a group together and go. That's what he says, to go. Okay. Ezekiel tells us, chapter 22, her people are full of wickedness. They are bullies and thieves. They have abused the poor and helpless. They have taken advantage of foreigners and perverted justice. I searched for one man among them, a man who could build the wall and stand in the gap before me and advocate for the land, but I found no one. Well, that verse pretty much sounds like our world today. Full of wickedness, bullies, thieves, abused, poor, and helpless. You know, and God's still looking for those people that are willing to stand in the gap and willing to say, here I am, send me. Romans 10, 14, 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So unless someone goes, they're not going to hear. And what I really want to focus on today is in Matthew chapter 9. And it's verses 35 through 38 in our key verse is the last verse, verse 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So he's telling that in Matthew 9. In Matthew 10:1, it's, "And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease." Then we read in Luke, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'" So the first 12 prayed this prayer, and then what? They sent out 70. 70 prayed, and more were sent out. Millions are praying, and the harvest fields of the earth are reached. And that's what it is. It's like a snowball effect that continually needs to happen. So let's look at that last line, that the prayer that he said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest." That is telling us that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the problem is that the laborers are few. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pray the Lord of the harvest. So the word pray in that scripture is the Greek word dekomai, which means to beseech, beg earnestly, and entreat with intensity and urgency. Now that is not like a begging, like, "Oh God, please do," you know, begging him because he wants to do it. No. The verb tense in that Greek is a command or appeal to his disciples that expects an active response. So he's saying to them, it's like him saying to start praying earnestly. You're not praying as you should. You need to start earnestly pleading with the Lord of the harvest for workers to be sent out. So he's telling them that prayer, to pray that prayer. He's telling us to pray that prayer. And then the word send, which in some scriptures I think it says drove too, but is the Greek word ekbalo, which means to forcibly expel, to thrust out violently, to fling. So that word is like a thrust movement. It's the same word that's used in Matthew 9:38 and Matthew 10:1 for casting out demons. It's the same word that was used when the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. That same word is used. It's spiritually violent, and it's an authoritative word. Ekbalo is used 34 times in the New Testament. And one was, if I cast out ekbalo demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or immediately the Spirit drove ekbalo him into the wilderness. So what is it telling us? To pray and go. We're to earnestly pray. We're to pray with that authority that Jesus Christ has given us to send workers into the field. Now, you know what? When you pray that prayer, you need to be part of that answer. And whether it's, I'm not saying y'all need to go to the 10:40 window, but whether it's you're in the grocery store, whether you're at home with your kids, talking to somebody on the phone, you need to pray. You need to be the answer for that. So how do we apply this to our day-to-day life? Well, because we each have our own sphere of influence. And so we always have to seize those divine opportunities in our everyday lives to invest into other people. And just like even an example was Michelle, when she shared this morning about, you know, her thankfulness and about what happened, you know, that was an investment, like that something that happened to her that she invested, and I'm sure it was, you know, touched other people in similar circumstances in here. And we just take what life we've gone through and we just use that to be able to invest and bring life and hope to others. And a big thing is something that I am working on trying to do is learning to live in the present moment. And so what does that look like? I mean, we are so busy and we have so much access to everything through internet, social media, all that stuff. So it's like when you're in line somewhere checking out, or if you're at the doctor's office waiting to be called in, it's so easy just to, okay, I'm going to do my emails now. Look at my phone, check all my emails, or see what's going on Facebook, or, you know, who's tweeting what, or whatever it is, you know, and to be distracted by that. I really believe the enemy is using this for a distraction. But to be present in the moment is to be aware of your surroundings. To sit there and they're like, okay, God, so what are you up to today? How can I partner with you? Is there someone here that you want me to share something? You want to highlight someone to me, you know, and just sit there and just observe your surroundings and be aware of that. And then I tell you what, when you do it, he will lead you. He always does. He wants his people to be affected by the kingdom of God. And so just take the time to, just be aware of what's going on. And he opens up opportunities for you all the time. And let yourself be moved by compassion for others. Just like Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was always moved to compassion. And if you don't know, like, how to do it or what to do it, you know, just read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is our example. Just read them and do what he said. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He was our representation of man on this earth. We have dominion. We've been given dominion over the earth. And our job was to stay in union with God and release resources of kingdom of heaven to the earth, you know, with when we screwed it up in the garden, but Jesus restored that back to us. And so our job is to make earth like heaven. We are that bridge between heaven and earth. And we have to know, like, what he did. We have to know him. And it's more than just about reading the Gospels and, okay, I know Jesus did this. It's once you read those Gospels and then talk to him about it. You know, like, I have these conversations with him and, well, how are you feeling about this? And, you know, and then it goes from your head to your heart. And once it gets down here, it's that rhema living word that just comes out. Like, you just can't even keep it in. And it's no longer just head knowledge you're doing this. You're doing it from a heart of compassion and love. And that's when you see change. And that's when you see the power of God moving. So, why can't every church have a food truck? Why can't every church have a pregnancy crisis center? You know, why can't every church have a homeless ministry? Why can't every church be a training center that sends out people to serve and minister? You know, we rely so much on the government providing things for, you know, resources, programs or whatever. But you know what? We need to rely on our kingdom resources and programs because our Father has every resource that's needed. There are no limitations to finances or resources in him. And so it's not even about our ability, like, oh, I'm just a new Christian, or I didn't go to seminary or whatever. It's not even about that. It's about our availability, not our ability. And you know what? When we make ourselves available, he divinely enables us to do all that he's called us to do. So don't let your, like, current season, whatever you're in, determine the amount of investment opportunities you make, you know? I know everyone's in different seasons. We have mothers at home with their kids and, you know, both parents working. But, you know, you're always out there among people and you're always out there. And just be aware of your surroundings and let God, like, use you. Last thing I want to share is that we always operate in love. And our ability to carry the presence of God on earth, and that was another thing, like, other than just, you know, you need to be familiar with his presence. You need to be familiar with his presence while you're at home, so you're familiar with his presence and you can hear and you know when he's speaking. But our ability to carry the presence of God on the earth is directly related to our honor, love, and affection for one another. So when there is a break in either honor, love, and affection, that we are not able to steward the presence of God well. And it's not released like it's meant to be on the earth. Heidi Baker, I'm sure a bunch of you know who she is. If not, you can look her up. But she's been a missionary, her and her husband, in Mozambique for years and years and years. And she's just a laid-out lover for the Lord. She's just laid it all down. And she has miraculous things going on all the time, healings and food multiplying. And all this, but she has been out of the United States. She didn't used to come very often to the United States. She just loves Mozambique and the people. And they've set up tens of thousands of churches. And the Lord this past year has been calling her back to the U.S. more and more. And she didn't want to go. And she was like, Lord, I don't want to go. I want to be, you know, here. Let's face it, the Western culture, we're spoiled. And we're not like the ones that are needy and have nothing. And so she wanted to be them. And even her, like, children that she has at her orphanages and stuff, and was like saying, Mama, no, you can't tell the Lord no, because she was like, I'm just going to rip up my passport. And they're like, no, you have to go back. You have to be obedient. You've always taught us to listen to Papa. So he's, like, really leading her to be, like, in the States, like, I don't know, a quarter of the year or something, or half the year or something. But so she said, okay, I'll do it. So she was in the state of California, which is her home state, and she was ministering and stuff. And, you know, but the Lord did a heart check on her, and he told her, he said, you know, you can come here and you can minister, and, you know, there's anointing, but unless you have love for the United States, unless you have love for the state of California, unless you have love for the people of the United States, you're not going to have my authority over them. So, you know what? When we love one another and we honor, that brings God's, allows us to use God's authority in situations with them. And when she shared that, it even really spoke to me, because, you know, sometimes you just get tired of people, you know? And let's just be honest. And I just had to, like, repent and, like, okay, you know, I didn't give up on them. You know, I love them, and I choose to love them, and I'm going to choose to operate in love. And she also said that, you know what, when you're out ministering, you minister to the one in front of you, but if you don't have love for that person and you don't have compassion for that person in front of you, you just need to move on, because nobody wants to be your project. So, you know, it is so important for us to have honor, love, and respect for this, you know, as we just, you know, seize those opportunities and move out in the things of the kingdom. So, all right. Well, that's all I have to share today. But I just want to give us an opportunity, if anybody needs prayer for anything, or, you know, you can come up after. We'll pray for you, or agree with you in prayer, or have questions or whatever. The altar is always open. So, and, you know, if you just want to say, God, here I am. Use me. Send me. Start with me. This is a good place to do it. Just come up and talk to God about it. So let's pray.